for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, May the 26th, 2000. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the minister of the morning.
Turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation 12.
Amen.
Praise God. How many has ever read this chapter?
Amen.
How many understand it?
Amen.
Well, how many know we all need a lot more understanding of what we have? Isn't that right? I don't know if anybody's got it all, do you?
No.
But what we have, we thank God for. Amen? Praise God. I want to pray again. Father, I just thank you for this word. I ask you to bless it to our hearts, Lord. And again, Lord, we're nothing in ourselves. We submit to the Holy Spirit and ask that you help us today, Lord. Quicken us by your Spirit, by your power and your anointing. And open their eyes and my eyes as well in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Revelation. This is the time, a lot of this is taking place during the tribulation. I believe the church is yet going to go through the tribulation. I know some say it's already over and some things have been fulfilled. How many know that's true? You know, but I'm telling you, we're still facing trouble down the road. But God's going to help us if we're living. Isn't that right? How many want his help today?
Amen.
We're not going to make it without it. Isn't that right?
Right.
But I'm believing that the Lord is coming within a people, and yet he's coming out there in the air as well. And so God is doing something. God is planting the seed of life into the womb of the soul of the believer by the Holy Ghost. God's doing that. And that divine seed has been deposited into his bride, the church. And that seed has to grow. It has to, of course, we're being changed from the carnal nature into his divine nature. Anybody, how many can look back in your life and see how God has changed you over the years? Well, we still need a greater change yet, though, don't we? Praise God. Until we come forth in his likeness and his very image. Praise the Lord. And this woman here in chapter 12 of Revelation is being overshadowed by her husband. I may thank God for a husband today.
Yes.
What is his name, brethren? Speak it to me. Come on. It is Jesus Christ. Amen. The Son of Righteousness. She's pregnant. She's pregnant with this man-child, these overcomers. And she's no longer a church system which represents soulishness. I like to just say that. But let's look in chapter 12, verse 1. And as we look into this chapter, I want to look at a couple things here about heaven and about the dragon. How many know the dragon's still around?
Yes, he is.
And how many know that he hates you and he hates me?
Yes.
He hates the true church of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He hates every one of us in this room today. And I want to tell you, starting out, there's four things that God showed me in this chapter. There's four churches right here. There's the woman church. There's the man-child church. There's the moon church. And there is Satan's church. It's called the synagogue of Satan. How many have ever read that in Revelation chapter 2?
That's right.
Amen. How many know he uses religion and the government to attack people?
Absolutely.
Now, in chapter 12, verse 1, there appeared a great sign or a wonder in heaven. Now, notice where this sign is. It's in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun.
Yes.
The moon is under her feet.
Yes.
And upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
Yes.
And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, the same heaven. This heaven is impure because the dragon's there. How many believe that God is doing a work in our heaven? That's within you and me, brother. And so it says in this verse 3, now look at it again now. There appeared another sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. So this heaven is impure. Now, verse 1, notice, there is the heaven where the woman is. Verse 3, we see the dragons in that same particular area. And then in verse 4, look at verse 4. Notice his tail to the third part of the stars of heaven. How many see that? All right, how many know those aren't natural stars? Amen? What is stars in the Bible? It represents three things. It represents the Jewish people in the Old Testament. represent the angels of God in some places, and represents the saints of God. Now look in Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 20. I believe it's verse 20 I want. I'm going to take my time this morning. Is that all right? Sometimes I go like a machine gun. Other times I just want to slow down. Revelation 1, 20. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, the right hand of authority, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels or messengers or ministries, come on, of the seven churches. We're not talking about angels that flap their wings. We're not talking about created beings. We're talking about ministries over these churches. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning?
Yes, that's good.
All right, now I can prove that. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are seven churches. So we know that he said the seven stars are seven angels that were over the seven churches here. The seven ministries. Some say pastors, some say apostolic ministry. I don't care what they say. It was ministries regardless. Amen? Over the seven churches. Now, let's go down to chapter 12, verse 5. And we're talking about heaven here with the dragon just a couple minutes here in this teaching. And in verse 5, the woman's bringing forth a man-child. And notice the man-child's caught up to the throne of God. How many know heaven is my throne? Heaven is my throne. How many have ever read that in the Scripture? Now look at verse 7. Verse 7, there's war breaking out in heaven. Now where is this war? It's in you. It's in me. It's not up in the sky somewhere. Come on. Where is the warfare today, brethren? It's in you. If you're in war, how many know you're moving in God? If you're not in war, you've let down the battle. Because if you're moving towards this people and towards God Himself and the Lord, there's going to be war in your life and my life. And so we know that it's taking place in the heavens. Where's the kingdom of heaven at? Help me, hell. Help me this morning. In you, in me. Praise God. Let's go over to Matthew 16 just a second. I just go as the Spirit just speaks these scriptures to me. A lot of times people don't like to work. How many know it's work to study the Word of God? Amen. They want somebody to just spoon feed you all the time. I'm telling you, brother, you gotta get in the Word of God yourself. Isn't that right? Chapter 16. That's the only way we're going to learn, all of us. Chapter 16, verse 27. The Son of Man shall come in His glory, in the glory of His Father. Notice, with His angels. And then He shall reward every man according to his what?
Works.
Now look at verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming where? Where's He coming? That's in you, that's in me today, okay? There were some that were, how many know Pentecost is when the Spirit descended and came, isn't that right? And so He said, some standing here is not going to taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. How many know we're His kingdom and yet He's our kingdom? He's raising up a kingdom of priests, literally kings and priests, but a kingdom of priests is actually what it means. All right, now let's go back to Revelation 12. Praise God, I thank God He's coming in us. Amen. And then in verse 8 and 9 of chapter 12, we know that that the dragon did not prevail. We know he was cast out of heaven, him and his angels. And then we come down to verse 11 also, and we see something else here. That they overcame him by something? How are you going to overcome him? The blood of the Lamb. Come on, in the word of their
testimony.
How many know you don't have a testimony without the Holy Ghost? And they loved not their lives or their souls to the death. And then we come on down to verse 12. Notice, rejoice you heavens. Not just heaven, but heaven. When Jesus was baptized and praying, the Bible said the heavens were open. Amen?
Amen?
Luke says that. And right here it says, therefore rejoice you heavens.
Yes.
To the, it says, and then he says something else. Ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, those that live in the carnal realm, and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has a short time. How many know he's a short timer?
Yes.
He's a short timer. He's going to totally be on the earth, cast out of the heavens. How many know that's happening right now? This warfare is going on right now. Come on. It's not out way out there. It's happening now. It's happening now. If you're moving in God, you're warring in God, how many know it's affecting the devil's kingdom right now?
Amen.
And that war, is in you and me. Praise God. Amen. And so it says something here now. Look down now in verses 13. He persecutes the woman. in verse 13. And verse 14, God's given her the two wings of the great eagle. It means the two wings of the great eagle, the Greek says. And how many know the great eagle is the Lord himself? Exodus 19, he bore Israel on eagle's wings, didn't he? And he's going to not forsake the church. Come on, in her great trouble and trial and persecution, he's going to be right there to lift her above all of that, isn't he? How many thank God for his power?
Amen.
What is the two wings? It's the mind of Christ. It's the Spirit and the Word in the people. Hallelujah. Coming forth, lifting us up above the powers of darkness. You want to know what the two witnesses are? It's not just two men. Come on, help me out. Amen? It is the Word and the Spirit of God in a people. And that is our balance today. It's not all Word. Come on. If it's all Word, we just dry up. If it's all Spirit, come on, we get, what happens to us? We get blowed up, don't we? But if you put the Word and the Spirit together, you're going to grow up. Is that right? Time to grow up, isn't it? How many of us hurts to grow up? It hurts to grow up. Amen. Now look at verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth a water as a flood after the woman to take her away, to destroy her. Now, I want to go back here and go over this again. Now, look back in verse 4. The tail is against the church. Let me see that. In verse 3? Let's see here. Verse 4. All right, now, in verse 4, he's out to devour the one she's bringing forth, the man-child, the overcomer. I mean, oh, this child is not Jesus in the flesh. Jesus came in the flesh, didn't he? John saw Jesus ascend from the Mount of Olives. John is seeing a future here. Go back to Revelation 4:1 just a second. Look in Revelation 4:1. It says this. What's this verse? Praise God. Chapter 4 and verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'm going to show you things that must be. John had already seen Jesus ascend towards heaven with the other apostles. Now he's seeing future events. This is not Jesus, the Son of God in flesh. This is Jesus in a people. Come on, help me now. And so back in chapter 12, verse 5, you see, he's coming after the man-child. He's going to devour. He's out to destroy these overcomers. One of the greatest battles you're yet to fight is going to be the enemy. Amen? Amen. If you're going to be an overcomer, he's going to fight you all the way. And you've got to fight him all the way.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then, of course, the third thing is, verse 7 and 8 and 9, there that war is in us. It's in heaven. And what's God doing? Now, look at this. Look back down to verse 8. In verse 7, rather, it says the dragon. And verse 9, the great dragon, he's also called the red dragon. And the old serpent, verse 9, he's called the devil, the Satan, and all those things. All, every vestige of the enemy has to be cast out of us.
Amen.
And the first people that's going to be set free are those who overcome.
Amen.
The overcomers are going to be set free. You can't be an overcomer unless you get set free. Unless you and I are delivered by the power of God. There's repentance, there's dying to self, and there's deliverance from evil spirits. And everything of Satan that's in our lives has to be eradicated, destroyed. Can you say amen? It must be, brethren. Praise God. So all of that has to take place. Now, then if you look down to verse 10, he's accused of the brethren. And verse 13, he's persecuting the woman. And again, verse 15, he's trying to destroy the woman. And then look at verse 17. You know, brethren, I didn't understand this verse for many years. But I understand it by the grace of God now. A little bit. But there's a lot more we don't know. Look at verse 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed.
Come on now.
Now, she has a seed.
Yes.
Who's the seed? It's the man-child. Which keep the commandments of God, or the Word of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, all through Revelation, you see those two things, the Word of God, or the commandments of God, and the testimony. I mean, John was on the Isle of Patmos for those two things. And the devil didn't put him there. God put him there to be tested, of course, by the devil. Amen? God put him there. I mean, God will put you in some of your trials. Come on, help me now. Now, let me show you this. Look in Genesis 45 just a second. I want to go back over and show you something. Hallelujah. Sure, we have an enemy. We know that.
Yes.
But in Genesis 45, if I can find the scriptures, hallelujah, and I got a different Bible, and that's why I should have brought my own. My own's falling apart. That's why I had to bring another one. Hallelujah. But in chapter 45, Joseph is being made known to his... I tell you what, let's go up to... No, I won't either. Let's see here. Verse 7. And God sent me. Who sent him?
God.
God sent me. Who's sending you?
God.
I mean, no, God may send you some places your flesh don't want you to go. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save lives by great deliverance. And now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he that hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Now go to chapter 50. Chapter 50. And look down to verses, if I can find it. Verse 20, verse 19 rather. Joseph said to them, his brethren, after he had been made known to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now go back to Revelation 12. Look in Revelation 12. Now look in verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness. And this is a worldwide scene. Where she hath a place prepared of who?
Of God.
She's in God's place. Anybody want to be in God's place?
Yes.
Well, even if you're in God's place, I mean, again, your flesh may not like it.
Right.
Amen? But and notice, she's where God's prepared a place. Then if you look up to verse 14, it also says in verse 14 that God may take her or fly her into that wilderness, into her place, where her place is God's place. And God's place is our place. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, we talk about going down to Joe's place. Well, we need God's place.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Now, back here to Revelation, chapter 12. Now, look with me, if you will, in verse, I want to read 3, 4, and 5 again. And before I read that, how many know the church, and I'm going to explain this, the church is pregnant with the church, standing on the old church order. The church, the woman, the bride of Christ, is pregnant. Amen? And she's bringing forth the church, the man-child, or the overcomer. And yet at the same time, notice the Bible says she's standing on the moon, or the old church order.
Oh, hallelujah.
I mean, the moon has no light of itself. Is that right? And so the moon under the feet suggests that it is reflecting light. It's imitating light. It's not true light. And how many know that passes away? But the woman, the church, is going to be in a position above all that reflecting light because she's going to be clothed with the S-U-N. Who is the S-O-N? Somebody say amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And this woman is in heaven or heavenly places. We know that. Whether it be past, present, or future. God's church has always lived in the heavenlies. Isn't that right? And so, we know that's true today. She's clothed, and she's crowned, and she's covered. I want you to hear that. She's clothed, she's crowned, and she's covered. Anybody want to be clothed with His righteousness today? Anybody want to receive a crown? And this crown, notice, if you'll notice this crown, it said there were 12 stars in this crown. How many know 12 is divine government?
Yes, it is.
And God is bringing forth His government. Apostolic government at the end of this age in the church. Can you say amen?
Yes, amen?
We need shepherds, we need teachers, we need evangelists, and we need, prophets. But God's also raising up His apostolic ministry.
Come on, now, right?
Praise God. And we need all five. Can you say amen? They must work together. And so God's doing that work. So these 12 stars, I believe, represent the 12 apostles of the Lamb. How many men that's called today to be apostles are also apostles of the church? Messengers of the church. The Bible says that in Corinthians and Philippians. And thank God for apostolic ministry today that's moving out. Apostle means a sent one.
Yeah.
This is the apostle. This is the prophet.
Yeah.
This is the evangelist. This is the shepherd. This is the teacher, okay? And the apostle brings the mind of Christ to the body of Christ. The prophet, how many know he speaks for God? The evangelist gathers. He preaches the good news. He gathers the people together. The shepherd guards the people. And the teacher, he grinds. How many know he's teaching the Word of God with Scripture? Scripture, he makes, you know, he interprets Scripture with Scripture. He makes sense. And he wants to make dent in our thick heads. Isn't that right? How many know we all have some dents? Praise God. Amen. Now, this woman is a queen. She's crowned. She's a beauty queen. Praise God. Her crown speaks of victory. It speaks of royalty. It speaks of authority. And she's the bride of Christ, the church that he's bringing forth. Listen, this bride has God's approval on it. And how many know if anybody touches it, he's in trouble? Help me now. I said he's in trouble. Praise God. Now, look back to now to verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven, same heaven where the woman is. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And there's a message in that which I'm not going to touch today. Verse 4. His tail. Now, the devil is a spirit. Is it? Is that right?
Right.
His tail did something. Drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And I'm not looking way back there either. I'm looking to the future. I'm looking in our day. And did cast them, where did he cast them? Into the carnal realm, into the earth realm. There are those who have lived with God, walked with God, who are falling out of the heavens back into the earth realm. Did you hear what I'm saying? Now, let's go to Isaiah. Hold your place. Go to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. How many know we not only have to guard ourselves, we have to watch for ourselves, but we also have to guard and watch for our brother and sister as well. Chapter 9 of Isaiah. We need each other, brethren, this morning.
Absolutely.
Chapter 9 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel. How many know we're Israel today? Anybody know that Galatians 6 said, well, the Israel of God, do you know that?
Yes.
I know there's a natural land over there, but I'm not looking that direction. I'm looking to the church today. We are all the Israel of God. How many know God's got his purposes there? He has purposes here. Therefore, will the Lord cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient, the honorable, he's the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is something. Now, what do we see in Revelation? The tail was pulling down the stars from heaven. Is that right?
Right. Yes.
For the leaders of this people caused them to err, and they that are led of them, that is those leaders, are
destroyed,
swallowed up, the margin says. Anybody want to be destroyed or swallowed up?
No.
Then don't follow lies. I mean, the lying spirit will take you down.
That's right.
Now look in Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14, 14. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, which brings false hope. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their own heart. There is the tale of the devil. Now look in chapter 5 of Jeremiah. Chapter 5, and also I want you to look, please, with me in verse 30 and 31. Here is that tail ministry of the dragon. Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31. A wonderful, notice that word wonderful, that means appalling. An appalling and a horrible thing is committed in the land. If we could see today in America, how many believe there's some appalling and horrible things happening in the church? And verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. How many heard that?
Oh, hallelujah.
They keep going back to the same old ones that lie to them all the time. Come on, put their money in that thing. Get out of it and get away from it.
Amen.
And what will you do in the end thereof, he says. And we are at the end of the age. It's time to separate from false teachers, false prophets, and false apostles, false evangelists, and false shepherds. I don't care who's false. Get away from them. Amen. Get with Jesus and get with the people of God who believe the truth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's go back to Revelation 12. We see that in Revelation 12 that Satan hates the church. Now, in verse 4, the tail, of course, is drawing the stars down. We read that. Now, by the way, let's look at verse 4 again. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast into the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for it to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, who was he after here in verse 4? The man-child. The man-child. Now, he hates the woman, but he's after the man-child, the overcomer she's going to bring forth, the mature ones in Christ. That's who they are. But notice this last part. To devour her child as soon as it, the child, was... How many see the word born? Now, how many know that we have been born again in our spirit? Come on, help me now. We're now being born in our soul as we submit to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And we're going to be born yet again, future. Otherwise, say it this way. God has delivered me, God is delivering me, and God shall deliver me. Come on. We're justified by His blood. We're being sanctified today. And then we're going to be glorified. Isn't that right? God's done a work in my spirit. He's doing a work now in my soul. And yet there will be a work in the body. Of course, the change. Resurrecting power. Amen? How many understand that? You want to jump from grade 1 to grade 3, and it won't work that way. You can't jump from the outer court to the Holy of Holies. You've got to come right on through that holy place into that Holy of Holies. There's a progression you have to go through. You're not going to come into the fullness of resurrection overnight. Come on, amen? Not everybody's going to be changed at once. The overcomers will be changed first. They have to be changed. The fullness has to come in them first. And they will also start, they'll start the physical resurrection before the others. But God's got a plan, doesn't He?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Well,
I want to be part of that plan.
Yes.
But we can only do it as we submit to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? Stay humble, stay down, keep sweet in the heart, and let God do the work.
Yes.
Come on, help me now.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, all right. Now, look also down to verse 15 and 16. We see that Satan not only has a tail, but he has something else here. He has a mouth. That serpent has a mouth. Isn't that right?
He does.
Now look at this verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now he's after the woman, isn't he? That he might cause her to be carried away of this flood. Now I was in a flood as a child. I know what it is to be in a natural flood. I remember all the dead animals and all the gross things you saw in the water. Well, how many know Satan has a flood?
Yes,
Satan's got some water.
Yes.
He's seeking to drown, destroy the church by it. It's not natural water. And it's not a natural army either. Now look at the next verse. Did I stop at verse 15 or 16?
15.
And the earth, the carnal realm, helped the woman... And the earth opened her mouth, swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Okay, now I want to go into this. Go over to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Let's see some scriptures on this. First of all, I believe this flood is lies. Everything Satan speaks is a lie. Most of the time. Jesus said when he speaks a lie. John 8:44. False doctrine is connected with the flood. Anything that's false doctrine, okay? Perversion. Any type of perversion is false. It's coming after the church. Satan's behind. Uncleanness. Deception. Seductive spirits. All those things that Satan is throwing to the church. Now again, Satan, the serpent, is a spirit. And he's throwing these things in the spirit against the church. Now, here in Psalm 69, it also speaks of words. Look at verse 1. Save me, O God. You ever cried that?
Yes.
For the waters are come unto my soul.
Yes.
You ever felt like you're drowning in your soul, your mind, will, emotions, and desires?
Yes.
I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. And that's where the church is standing. And this flood's going to come at the church, and is coming at the church. Come on, help me now. How many's had a flood the last few years?
Well,
Man, 10 or 15 or 20 years. I mean, I've been in some floods, haven't you? Come on, help me now. And so there's a lot more scriptures in that chapter I could go. Now look over and let's go on down to Psalms 93, okay? I got many scriptures, but I can't give them all this morning. Psalms 93, look at verse 3 and 4. He said here, David did, the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their what? So the floods have a voice, words. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Did you hear that? God is greater than ever flood, any flood that will ever come against you. Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Hallelujah. So God will be with you. He'll be at your side. Amen. During flood time. Amen. Let me thank God for it. Amen. During flood time. Amen. Let me thank God for it. He's mightier than all the noise of many waters. Then we come up to Psalms 89:9 of Psalms. And here's what it says. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Praise God. He knows how to stop the storm, don't he?
Yes, he does.
Don't he? Let me give you another one. Look at Psalms 18:4. Psalms 18:4. And here's what it says. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Amen. The sorrows of hell compassed me about also, and the snares of death prevented me. Then we go to Isaiah 59:19. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. I hope you're taking some notes because you can't get all this. Unless you get the tape. 59:19. I've always been a note taker. I mean, I learned that in Bible college. I love to take notes from somebody speaking, especially when they say something that hits me between the eyes. Amen? 59:19. Now look at this verse here. I'm sorry. Did I say 59? Okay, 59:19. Okay, here it is. Praise God. It said so. Now I know they've changed this verse, but I say I stick with the King James. I'm sorry. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Have you had the enemy come in like a flood?
Yes, sir.
Then he said, the Spirit. Notice, the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And what is the standard? It is Jesus Christ in your life and my life. Amen? The Holy Ghost will not lift up man. He'll lift up Jesus. He'll exalt Jesus in your life and my life, right in the midst of every flood. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Lamentations chapter 3, the last verse I want to give you here. It's right after Jeremiah, if you don't know where Lamentation is. You know, the problem in the church is we don't even know the books of the Bible sometimes, as we should. Isn't that right? God help us all learn these books. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 54. Chapter 3, verse 54. Now look at this scripture. It's a powerful scripture. Waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. You ever been in a situation you thought you was going to die or not make it? I was. Verse 55. But I call upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breaking, at my cry. Thou dwellest near in the day that I call upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast what?
Redeem
my life. So he said the waters overflowed his head. I'm cut off. But thank God, God intervened.
Hallelujah.
And God intervened in our hearts and our lives too as well. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. Now let's look at this here just a minute. Again, he said, John said here in chapter 12 and verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth. So something's come out of the serpent's mouth, right? That water, that flood that took care of the church away. Now look over in chapter 16 of Revelation. Chapter 16, and we're talking about the sixth seal. Now, somebody said, where are we at in time? We're at the beginning, at the time when the sixth seal is going to be loosed. It's going to be open in the earth. And if you'll read Isaiah, you'll see the pride of man is going to be brought down. It's a time also of destruction. But look here in chapter 6 of 16 of Revelation. Look in verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water was dried up. Now there's a message there that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. How many know China's getting prepared?
Yes.
Come on, North Korea's getting prepared. God's going to bring that army of the east down at Armageddon. God's going to destroy. Do you hear me? He's going to destroy Russia. He's going to destroy every army that comes against Jerusalem. Can you hear me? Well, I say every army. Most of the people's going to be destroyed. There's going to be some left. Now, verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. And notice, they come out of the mouth of the dragon. That's Satan. Out of the mouth of the beast. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, we've already seen in chapter 12 that the water is coming out of the dragon's mouth, right?
Yes.
Now, look in chapter 13, and let's see the beast's mouth here just a second. And notice it's chapter 13, the chapter of rebellion. How many know this beast system is rebellious against God?
Absolutely.
Chapter 13 of Revelation, verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 7 years. No. Come on, help me. 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy. He opened his mouth. What come out of his mouth? What come out of that beast's mouth?
Blasphemy.
How many believe there's a beast at the feast? And a liar for the fire, somebody said one time. There's a beast in us, too. Come on, you gotta keep that old beast down, isn't that right? If every one of us know about it. Now look at this. I mean, you were looking to the Middle East for some beast or some or Rome. How many know it's right between our ears?
Come on down.
But it says something here in that last verse, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Anything that's beastly hates God.
Yes, it does.
And notice he blasphemed his name, that means his nature. His tabernacle, that's you and me.
Yeah.
And them that dwell in heaven, that don't mean just those who died and went to heaven. How many know that's also people who live here and live there too?
Yeah.
How many thank God we can live here and there both today? So what's coming out of the beast's mouth? What's coming out of the Satan's mouth? What came out of Satan's mouth? The flood, right? Lies and all those things I told you. Perversion and all those things. Now let's see the false prophet. Look in Revelation chapter 13. Let's look down to verse 11. Now, here's the second beast called the false prophet. You got a political system, you got a religious system. How many of you, if Satan can't get you one, he'll get you in the other one. One's just as bad as the other. Still babbling, isn't it? Now, look here in chapter 13 and verse 11 now. And I beheld another beast coming out. Where's it coming up from? Now, look back to 13:1 just a second. Where'd that beast come from? Look in 13:1. Come out of the sea, out of humanity.
Come on now.
Now this is coming out of the earth, out of the carnal realm.
That's right.
How many is hearing me?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you Revelation in just a minute. Okay. Notice, I beheld this other beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. But everything that looks like a lamb is not a lamb, is it?
That's right.
You're talking about deception. Here it is. He is a counterfeit to the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. And he spake like a dragon. He's got dragon breath. Amen? So when he speaks, it's like a dragon speaking. Is that true? Now turn to Revelation 10. Oh, man, if I get in this, what time is it? 11:30? I got 30 minutes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Chapter 10. Now I'm going to show you. The beast came out of where? Help me. Out of the sea. And the false prophet came out of the
earth.
Okay, keep that in mind. Put your left foot on one, right foot on the other, right? You'll see it. You'll see it right here. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. That's the glory of God. A rainbow was up on his head. What did John see over the throne in chapter 4? He saw a rainbow, didn't he?
Yes.
Now watch this now. And then it says, his face, think of the transfiguration, his face was as it were the sun. And his feet like pillars
Hallelujah.
Of fire.
Yes.
How many see the word pillars?
Yes.
Now, Jesus is the head of the church. Can everybody say amen to that?
Yes.
But how many know he's got a people called a feet company?
Come on now.
Come on. Satan must be bruised under our
feet
shortly. Now, Moses saw the land, didn't he?
Yes.
But who walked in the land? Joshua with the people of God.
Yes.
A lot of people see it. That's not enough. You got to also, come on, walk into it as well. And God has a foot company, our feet company. I was preaching Czechoslovakia, not really through the translators when I said a foot company. Now, he says here, look at this. These feet are pillars of fire. This is the church walking in tribulation. Or through tribulation, I should say. Next verse. What's this? And then he said, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot where? Where did he put that right foot?
On the sea.
On the sea? Where did that beast come out of?
The sea.
All right. Then he put the other foot where? He put that left foot on the earth. What came out of the earth? No, the false prophet. So at the end of the age, this foot company is going to put their foot on the beast and the false prophet. It will be under our feet if we're overcomers. Can you see that? Hallelujah. And so we could go on with that. So God is conquering Satan through us, the false prophet, and the beast. Anybody want to be part of that? It ain't going to be without a battle. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, God, as I said, is putting his approval on the bride. Amen? Because she's clothed with light. That's righteousness. That's Christ. That's our covering. Let me tell you something. Man won't cover you. I'll tell you who'll cover you is the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 30 tells you that. And that means we walk in the Spirit to be covered over by God. Isn't that right? We learn that walk in the Holy Ghost. He comes in us to take us into Him. Is that true? And, of course, we're married. This church is married to the Son or the King of Light. God is a consuming fire. And how many know to come into fire, you got to walk through fire. You know, Peter warmed himself next to fire, didn't he? Come on. The Hebrew children, they were in the fire. Is that right? And so if you're going to become fire, you're going to have to walk through fire. Is that true? If you're going to become the fire, look in Revelation 11. My God, give us some fire. We've got to have fire. We've got to walk through fire to get fire. Revelation 11. Revelation 11. As long as we fight the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to come in the fire. Chapter 11. Hey, we've all fought the Holy Ghost, haven't we? In some areas, haven't we? Praise God, every one of us. Look in verse 5. If any man will hurt them, fire. This is not the fire you see down at the fair where, you know, the guy's throwing that fire in and out of his mouth. Come on, help me. Fire proceedeth out of their mouth. And notice the mouth is singular. How many know there's one message? Come on, one sound, one voice. Amen? I'm telling you, I go in some camps, you hear 15 different things preached. God's going to bring us to the place where there's a message. It's the message, the single message, Jesus. If any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devour what? Come on. Their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. How many see that? They have power to shut the heavens and so forth. What is that fire? The anointed word of God. They're not going to go around doing that. That's by the Holy Ghost. That would only be in the time when the Spirit directs. Come on, let's go to Zechariah 4. How many know there were two tried to call fire down one time, and Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're off.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, God's not going to put that fire in immature people's hands.
No, he won't.
Is he? Zechariah 4. Here we see these two witnesses right here. And look down to verse 10. I should go back and read a lot more. But if you want to know who they are, look down to verse 6. It tells you the word of the Lord and the Spirit. In verse 6, it tells you right there who the two witnesses are. The Bible explains itself. Now look down to verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. That seven there is the seven eyes, the seven spirits of God. How many know the seven spirits was in Jesus? We say Jesus moved in the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, Jesus had the fullness of God in him. How many know we're in the part realm? We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come. Where's he coming? He's coming in us. And that which is in part shall be done away with. Now look at this. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then answered I and said to him, what are these two olive trees? upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof. Now, this is mentioned in chapter 11 of Revelation. And I answered again and said to him, what be these two olive branches which to the two golden pipes empty what? What are they emptying out? What do you want to empty out? You can't, whatever's in you, that's what you're going to empty out. Will it be negative or positive? They empty out the golden oil out of themselves. There's gold, now listen, there's a golden candlestick, there's golden pipes, and there's golden oil. These two prophets. How many know if you cut off the ministry of prophets, you cut off revelation from the church?
Come on.
You cut off prophets and ministries. Most churches have. They don't want prophets. They don't want apostles. They don't want anybody that's got a word of the Lord. They're comfort. They got a comfort zone. Come on, help me now.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now look at verse 13. And you, by the way, you can't pour out to anybody you want to. You pour out to whom God the Holy Ghost says pour out to. And some God says, keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing. How many have ever been in that situation? Verse 13. How many know you don't cast your pearls before swine?
Come on now.
He answered me and said, knowest thou not that what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And if you look in the Hebrew, it means the sons of fresh oil.
Yes.
Sons of God, full of the oil of God. Amen?
Yes.
And I want to tell you, I can't give you oil. You can't give me oil. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. You've got to spend time with God to get oil. So do I.
Yes.
Somebody say amen. I tell you, we want to, our problem is we go to man. Let's go to God.
Amen.
Get your eyes off of ministers. Get your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Not that they can't help you. Please don't. Please hear me right. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, now, she has God's approval. I said that. And so when you see that moonlight, you see reflected light, it's artificial light. And we know God is doing the real work in His people. Praise God. And somebody said we're going from sonship to moonship. from moonship to sonship. I said it backwards. We're going, leaving the old church order, and we're heading towards maturity or sonship. Amen? Because she was clothed with the S-U-N. Amen? The clothing was the glory of God and the light of God. Look in Revelation 21. Praise God. Revelation 21. Now, what was she clothed with? What was the woman clothed with? Come on, somebody shout it out. She was clothed with the S-U-N, the righteousness, yes, Christ, and so forth. That is a fulfillment of Haggai chapter 2.
Yes.
Where God said, I'm going to fill my house with glory. And that was the Feast of Tabernacles. And so God is fulfilling that. But look here in chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full. Let me say, everybody say full. Full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither or come closer. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away. Anybody want to get carried away?
Yes.
Where did he get carried away?
The Spirit.
In the Spirit, to a great and a high mountain. A place in the Spirit. And showed me that great city. How many know we're talking about a people here now?
Come on now.
We're not talking about some city coming out with, you know, with beautiful diamonds on it.
Yeah.
We're talking about a people of God. God's done the work in.
Come on now.
And those stones are in people. God's doing that work in us. That 12 nations of Christ doing that work in us. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay, notice. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And notice verse 11. What's the first word? Help me.
Having.
Literally echoing. Having the glory. Now, you can talk about the glory. You can speak about the glory. But I'm telling you, the church will experience the glory.
Hallelujah.
But how does glory come? How does glory come? Not without suffering. But the sufferings of this time is not to be compared, come on, with the glory that's going to be revealed within us, he says, about the sons of God in Romans 8. So he says, notice, having at last this woman, this church, this bride, has the glory of God. Hallelujah. That ought to get us shouting.
Yes.
Amen? And her light was likened to stone. Most precious. How many know that stone is Jesus?
Oh, hallelujah.
I said, that stone is Jesus. And that stone is not only the Most High, but He's most precious and He's most holy. Even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, He's going to bring you and me to a place where you can see right through one another with pure eyes. God loves us with all the mess we have in us. And God wants you to love people with all the mess they have in them. But it takes pure eyes from the Holy Ghost to see through your brother and to see through your sister. Come on, help me. And to help them get out of that mess. Because we're all in the mess and we need help. Amen? Amen. And all He goes into this city, I'm telling you, it's a people. It's a people. You see it as a people. God's doing a work in us. If you're just preaching that out there, how many are you going to miss it? But if you see what God's doing in here. Come on, somebody say amen. It will help you. Praise God. Now, I want to give you this here. I want to give you this here before we get through here. Praise God. Now, again, I want to say that back in Revelation 12, the woman is the church, not natural Israel. Israel is not in the heavenlies.
Come on now.
It was not. It's not Mary. Come on, that was the mother of Jesus. This woman is the church. It's not Jesus Himself, because John saw Jesus ascend. We said that. But it's Jesus and a people. Now, I wrote this down. I want you to hear this. God is still waiting for her, the church, to bring forth a man-child instead of a woman congregation.
Hallelujah.
Now, please hear what I'm going to say. We're not talking about just natural people. We're talking about things happening in us, okay? How many know your soul is the female? Did you know that? The masculine part is the inner man, Christ in the inner man. But He's doing a work also in our soul, isn't He? The word masculine is being used here as that which gives forth life, and the feminine is that which receives life from the masculine. How many thank God He's putting that seed in our soul? Come on, help me now. And being overshadowed by the Son, the S-U-N, who is the S-O-N, her husband, she's pregnant, this woman, this church, this bride. And she brings forth the man-child, the Bible says. No longer another woman church system, which we've had too long, which represents soulishness, amen, and the inability to give forth the seed of life. But a masculine church, hallelujah, is bringing forth, which will give forth the true light and life to the world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So Christ the seed, now listen, Christ the seed grows within the womb of this church as the seed, the Holy Ghost, planted within, just like the Holy Ghost planted within Mary. He overshadowed Mary. How many know He's overshadowing this woman, the church, again?
Yes.
Amen? With the same seed. Now, it took 9 months in the natural to bring forth Jesus. I'm sure it was 9 months. But how many know that it's longer than 9 months to you and me?
Yes.
Come on, help me now.
Hallelujah.
And so the Holy Ghost at this time, the Holy Ghost now, is inseminating the church with the seed of Christ, which He used to bring forth Jesus into the world. Which means, He's overshadowing us and doing that. Man's nature, your nature, my nature, is to be changed to the nature of who? Come on, help me.
Christ.
By the operation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was born from the womb of Mary as a natural birth, but it was a supernatural birth as well. No man had anything to do with it. I'm going to tell you something. Man ain't got nothing to do with this. It's going to be the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The final body of Christ shall be born from the womb of the church, which is the change that will take, which will take place in the soul of man, in your soul and my soul. The seed of God was not entrusted to the angel, even the mighty Gabriel.
Yes.
Right.
Come on, help me. He brought the message.
Yes, right.
Not even the mighty Gabriel was worthy to take the seed of God and plant it in the womb of Mary. Man is entrusted with the seed of the Word of God, but the precious seed of the man-child. The Christ seed planted in the womb of the church, in the soul of man, is the prerogative only of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And He's doing it.
Amen.
Now, Sarah was barren.
Come on.
Rachel was barren. Rebecca was barren. Hannah was barren. Samson's mother, which we don't know her name, was barren. Elizabeth was barren, and the church has been barren.
Yes.
But God's changing that.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want you to hear this word. We talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Somebody turn to Ronnie, turn to Revelation 3, and I believe it's verse 19. I may be wrong, but just stand and read it, would you, Ronnie? Revelation 3:19. And I'm going to tell you something closing here in just a minute. Yes, go ahead, Ronnie.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Mm-hmm.
Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
Go ahead.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me.
Hang on. Now, how many here see the little word sup?
Yes.
What does that word sup mean? It means supper.
Come on now.
How many like supper time?
That's good.
But how many know this is spiritual talk? He's going to come in and do what? What does it say again there, Ronnie?
If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him.
Into you, into me, okay.
And will sup with him.
He'll have supper with you.
And be with me.
Uh-huh. Okay.
To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne.
Amen.
Even as I also overcame, oh my,
uh-huh,
and sat down with my Father in his throne.
Okay, on the way to the throne, how many know you got to stop over at the supper table?
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
Now read that verse again about the sup. I got to hear it again.
If any man hear my voice.
All right, hear his voice, the Holy Ghost.
And open the door.
The door, okay.
I will come in to him.
Come in to him.
And will sup with him.
Now who's going to eat first? Who's going to eat first? What does it say right there again? Read it again. Let him hear it.
All right. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him.
All right.
And will sup with him.
All right. He's going to come in and sup with you. All right. Go ahead.
And he with me.
Hallelujah. You got to set a table for Jesus.
That's right.
What's the table? That nature? Come on. That character? That life of Christ that's in you? That's what he's going to put. He's not going to eat anything of the carnal man. Come on.
Amen.
Is that right? The word sup means supper. Now, in Revelation 19, before I tell you this, look in Revelation 19, verse, I think it's 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself
ready,
and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, or literally the righteous deeds of the saints. Now, verse 9. He said to me, write, blessed are they which are called.
Well, hallelujah.
Where are we called to?
Unto
the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, in 19, there's two suppers. There's the supper of the great God where he destroys the wicked at Armageddon. And here he's talking about the supper of his people. But notice there in verse 9 what he said. Blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now listen to what I'm going to say. Now hear this. The marriage supper of the Lamb is not at a large table in heaven. It's not passing mashed potatoes and green beans and pork chops down the way. Come on, that's not the marriage supper of the Lamb. I was taught that, told that, saw pictures of that. That ain't what it is. Here's what the marriage supper is. The marriage supper of the Lamb will not be in heaven in some far-off galaxy, but right here and now. Listen. Listen to this. The wedding feast, therefore, is the new thing which God is doing in the earth at this time, in which He, the Spirit of God, is overshadowing the elect of God, which are the called out ones, right? Inseminating their souls with His own divine nature, which God promises. Amen? And so God is doing the work within you. God is doing the work in your soul. That's the marriage supper. That's the marriage feast. Not some long table up in heaven somewhere. Come on, help me now. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm going to read it again. The marriage supper of the Lamb is the place in the Spirit where the sons of God receive the seed of Christ within their souls, and the long sought after change begins to occur in their soul nature. Otherwise, it's change. And God's changing us as we submit to Him. So forget about the beans and the mashed potatoes and pork chops. Isn't that right?
Hallelujah.
I won't go into it right now. But when those stars fall, I want to say another thing. I'm telling you, brethren, there is an apostasy in the church today. There's a people that's lost their hunger for Jesus. And if you lose that hunger, how many know you're on the downslide, not up on the upscale? And God gave me scriptures this morning about that apostasy. I know there's some make fun, say, oh, there's not going to be any apostasy at all. I'm going to tell you, it's already happening.
Yes. Happening.
But just as that's increasing, so God's people's increasing, moving up in Him too. Amen? I don't want to fall. I don't want to fail. I want to make it all the way. How about you? By the grace and of Almighty God. We can't do it in ourselves. It's got to be Him. Let's stand and bless the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. You got enough food there today to take you a month.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. How many thank God for Jesus today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for that seed that You're putting in Your people, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You that You're bringing forth a people. Lord, a strong people like there's never been before, You said in Joel, Lord. You're bringing forth Your mighty army, Lord God. And we thank You that as we submit to You, as we get delivered and set free, Lord, in many areas, You can come into us in those areas and fill us up and do the final work, Lord. We just ask You to forgive us and help us, Lord, in all the areas where we're weak, Lord God. Shore us up, Lord, and do the work in all of us, Father God. We thank You for this day. We thank You for this message. And we thank You for this people. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And Lord, bless the food in Jesus' name. Amen. God love you and bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.